Suspects on a Friday as we get you ready for your weekend. It's Barry, Joel, it's the fill-in.
Who is this, Harrison?
That's a request from yesterday. Dr. Dre on 290 on Twitter asked for that, and I missed him, so I told him I'd get him back today with Cheetos and Takis.
Who was that?
Who had Tacoritos and what?
I didn't realize we took requests on this show.
Yeah, you know, I felt bad because I missed him, but it's the Rich Kids. He says Dell plays it, so he likes Dell.
The Rich Kids. D-A yeah, or D-U-H?
D-A.
Okay. Didn't know for sure. Never can't tell with these kids today. Get off my lawn.
That's been your theme all week.
I know. I'm telling you, I'm old. What do I talk about,
Ever
Joel?
Since the fertilizer washed away, it created just a crap storm for the rest of the week.
That's right.
Dang it!
All right, here's some text, and then we're going to get to Jerry's call. So somebody wants us to talk about Josh and Beaumont said, did Grayson Allen show you how to effectively defend that swing through? So we're going to get to Grayson Allen. Okay. I promise you, Josh and Beaumont, so don't go anywhere on that. Somebody did offer up an idea for the Carmelo Anthony trade. OKC should just pull a Jackie Moon from Simeon Pro and trade Carmelo for a washing machine. Okay.
Okay.
Probably worth it. Somebody wanted picks for UFC 226. So we'll get to those as well, because I promised we would talk a little bit about that today. So
you did.
Yeah.
And even with Nick out, I don't know if Harrison's, you know, aside from...
You a UFC fan, Harrison?
Not too much.
So no. I'm on my own?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You don't look for my expertise? I'm just asking a question. Not even asking for a friend. All right. Jerry is on the road with SpongeBob SquarePants. Jerry, what's up?
Hi. This is Casey Kasem. This request comes in from Dr. Dre at 290. This turned into Total Request Live over here.
I know. I didn't realize we just took requests for songs
from
listeners.
Well, if TRL, then we're Carson Daly. We're not Casey Kasem.
I like that Harrison's trying to be a man of the people, but you don't have to take... When people tell you to play stuff, Nick ignores them, and you can do the same. Feel free.
If I hear one person go, Seacrest out, that's it. I'm done with this show. Done.
No one's going to do that, I
the
promise.
The problem with Harden is very simple. He doesn't have the killer instinct. He's not a leader. CP3 comes in, doesn't have any rapport with those guys, doesn't know them. Comes in there within the first week, probably practice. They were like, "Oh, this guy's a floor general. This is the guy we need to get behind." You know, and some people don't want to be leaders. James Harden probably doesn't want to lead. You know, he's the best guy. If you could take his CP3's brain and stick it in Harden's body, you know, that would be a great recipe. But they're just wired differently. And I think other men see that and they understand that he's not a leader. You know what I mean? He's the guy at the YMCA that chucks up a half-court shot when it's point game. And you look at each other like, why? Why? Why are you doing this right now? And there's a couple times in the playoffs where you see CP3 on the right wing and Harden at the top of the key and calls for the ball, and Chris Paul looks at him and is like, no, that's not what we need right now. You know what I mean? Like, he could feel the game. Like, we need a good possession here. We don't need, like, a 30-foot chuck shot. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though it goes in. It goes in sometimes, and that's the problem. He gets the assist. He scores. So it's hard to make the argument that he's a ball hog, but he's not a ball hog on paper, but the eyeball test says he's a ball hog. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's all technicalities, because, you know, Daryl would call, or technical people would call him a ball dominator.
Yes, he's ball dominant.
Yeah. They had, what was it, 800 dribbles? Or he had more dribbles than the Warriors' top three guys in one of the games.
He was setting up the offense, Jerry. He was setting up the offense.
Jerry, if you need more time, let me know.
I think he's trying to put him to sleep.
That's right. He's like a hypnotist with that ball. Just like a pocket watch. Back and forth. Up to the rim. That's how it goes.
If you're playing with him, you just go, hey, guys, I'll be under the rim trying to get his rebound. He's going to shoot it. It's just going to be another 15.
If you even want to put that much effort in.
I'll be under there. If you need me, I'll be under there. But Have a good weekend, boys. And yo, Barry.
Yo.
The SD card's going to be nuts, man.
I know. I'm excited about this, man. I actually thought it would be in Oklahoma.
Though.
Dude, yeah, we got to talk about that too. Yeah.
I'll let you do it, though.
All right. Appreciate you, Jerry. Yeah, this whole thing with Max Holloway, he was doing interviews, and I saw you had posted a link about him being injured.
Right?
Well, a mental health issue. He was doing interviews, and the best way to describe him was punch drunk. I mean, he reminded me of kind of James Toney-ish, where he would just be like, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's my guy. Like, and people were like, what is wrong with this cat?
Mark Spears after a nap?
They had to pull him and the fight from the UFC 226 card because he was acting concussed. So you hope that punch drunk is the best way to describe what Max Holloway was doing in these interviews. And you hope that it's something that's not a permanent deal. But dude, in a combat sport like MMA and boxing, that's a real possibility and a real fear for people and athletes is that you can become punch drunk. And it just, you think about football players and CTE, right?
Yeah.
And the blows that they take to their head. And that's on a periodic basis. The whole point of combat sports is blows to the head. I mean, you're getting punched in the face, even in practice, even when you're sparring, even when you're training, you're still
out
there.
You're looking for that knockout punch. You're trying to take your opponent out.
Yeah, and headgear or no headgear, you're still taking those shots to the head. So it's scary and sad because I think that might have been the best fight on this card. But to me, if you're looking for a replacement like fight of the night, Gokhan Saki and Khalil Roundtree, that is going to be, to me, that's going to be fight of the night because you got two guys, no ground game. We don't even know if Gokhan Saki has ever seen the ground, but he used to be a kickboxer, and I mean world-class, top-of-the-heap kickboxer. So him and Roundtree, that's going to be a fun fight to watch. I don't know if it goes the distance. I think like some of these fights on this card, there could be a lot of knockouts. The one that everybody keeps asking me about, obviously, is Francis Ngannou and Derek Lewis, our hometown Derek Lewis. Again, two guys that aren't known for their ground game whatsoever. Two of maybe the heaviest hitters in the history of the heavyweight division. I got to be honest with you. I mean, both of them have knockout power. Both of them have horrible cardio and stamina. Neither one of them want this fight to go to the ground. The problem becomes when you have a fight like this, when you have two guys that can knock each other out with one punch and in a couple of seconds, they both tend to be hesitant. Ngannou is more of a counter puncher, and Derek Lewis is a guy that will go forward. So that might be the saving grace in this fight. My fear is that this becomes a boring fight. For much of the fight, when they both gas, it could be ugly. But that said, I don't think it goes past the second round. But to me, I mean, I'm having a hard time picking this fight. To me, this is a pick 'em, even though the odds say Ngannou is a heavy favorite at a minus 370. When you got guys that have this kind of punching power, there's times when Derek Lewis has looked like he's just, I mean, when he fought Jake Roshall, he looked like he was done and then knocks the guy out. So to me, this fight's a pick 'em, but I think it ends in the second round. Somebody's getting their ass knocked out in the second round. Who? I don't know. You pick, because to me, it's that close. Main events, Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier. The thing is with Miocic, I think he's obviously a much better striker and less so on the ground as far as talent. I mean, he's still good on the ground, but he's nowhere near what Daniel Cormier is as a wrestler. Daniel Cormier is a world-class Olympic-caliber wrestler, and Miocic isn't going to be able to hang with him. And the problem becomes, like, Cormier is much shorter and much smaller. He's given up 10 pounds. He's given up 8 inches in the reach advantage. But he's good on the inside. He's good at dirty boxing, and he can get with his wrestling and how he can control dudes. He'll get you up against the cage. He'll dirty box with you a little bit, grab that single leg, pull you to the ground, and then you're in trouble. Most fighters are when they face Daniel Cormier. At the end, though, I think Stipe Miocic's ground game is good enough to survive, and I think he's much better on the feet. So I actually have him winning, which isn't a big pick because he is a favorite by minus 250. And then the other pick on the card is Michael Chiesa and Anthony Pettis. Two completely different fighters. Again, you got Chiesa, who is a really good grappler, and Anthony Pettis is nothing but a striker. I mean, he has no ground game whatsoever, but I think Chiesa has a good mix of both, so he's a slight favorite, but I have him winning. So those are my picks. On the main card, I pick them with Ngannou and Lewis. I'll take Miocic, Chiesa, and Gokhan Saki. So there you go. There's my breakdown. Craig, who you
Harrison,
got?
Harrison, go ahead. Break it down.
Completely agree with every word.
You can't do that. You ever?
I think
have you ever
Pettis
watched?
Is a great third base coach. So I think that whatever he brings in the ring is
Gary
different.
Pettis, Anthony Pettis.
That's cool that he has two jobs like that. Yeah, I really appreciate the hustle.
Yeah. And one's black and one's Hispanic. These aren't even the same Pettises. Have you ever even watched a UFC card, Harrison?
Yes, of course. Okay. I used to watch a lot, and I don't really watch anymore at all.
Okay.
Well, I've attended.
Kind of like me with soccer, except I never used to watch, and I still don't watch. But it's like the same thing, though.
Almost exactly the same
thing. Have you ever watched a UFC card?
I've been to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You're just not a fan. You know?
I mean, look, it was interesting as hell when we said we were like on the cage down in the first row. It was amazing.
Yeah.
My wife hated it, but
really?
I mean, yeah.
Man, I tell you what, when I used to cover like Legacy when Mick Maynard owned it, and it was good. Totally not good anymore now that Mick isn't a part of it. But there was nothing like, I remember going to my first MMA match or card and seeing it live. And I used to tell people all the time, it's like hockey. You can watch it on TV and it's okay. But once you see it live, there is nothing like seeing two dudes fighting live.
That's what they say about NASCAR too.
Really?
Well, they always say you got to see it in person. I've had so many people tell me, you just got to go to one race and you'll be hooked. No. Mm. But I'll tell you this. The one thing that I took away from my experiences with UFC is you're never out of it. And when you think a guy is out of it, you have no idea how, when they dig deep, they can pull a match out that they were losing or getting. I've seen guys getting their ass kicked for the first round or two rounds.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, in the third round, just catch a guy the right way, completely change the complexion of the match, and end up winning. Amazing.
That's the thing about that I like about especially MMA as opposed to boxing, which boxing is good, but the thing I love about MMA is it's the smaller gloves. It's easier to knock dudes out. Not necessarily easier, but everybody's got a button, and that's that night-night button, and that's that jawline. And it's a great like lesson in life on the streets, too. If you ever get in a fight, a lot of people aim for the nose or they'll aim for the face. Dude, aim for the jawline, because if you connect on the jawline, chances are that they'll get knocked out. And that's the beautiful thing about MMA is one punch on that jawline, on that button, and it can completely change. That's what happened with Derek Lewis when he fought Jake Roeschel. Jake Roeschel, much better wrestler in on the ground than Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis happened to get the fight up to its feet, punched him dead off on that jawline. That was it. It was over. So that's the beauty of the sport. But somebody said that Max Holloway sounded like Bob Dylan a little bit, and he did.
Really?
It was not good.
And they don't know the medical breakdown of why?
I haven't seen anything yet, but I haven't really looked since I saw that the fight was off. And somebody did ask, is he being replaced? Not that I've seen. They just moved everybody up on the card. So they moved the Gokhan Saki fight up to the main card, which is good. But I think it was on there anyways. They had six fights. But now, like, Derek Lewis moved up to the co-main event. So, which it should have. It could have been anyways.
I think I've had a Gokhan Saki at the bar at China Garden.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to go to a break. We're going to come back with much more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm Dale Cheeseman. Yes, that Dale Cheeseman. Some of y'all probably recognize me by now. Anyone? Local hero Dale Cheeseman? No? It doesn't make me any less of a hero just because y'all don't watch the news. I'm a local hero. A few years ago, I saved a man's life, and I was on the news. It was on, yeah. I'm going to tell the story. I'm not just ending it there. It's not a credit. I was in downtown Houston. I was walking around. This guy was standing on a ledge from a building about to jump. And there was, like, this whole crowd out, like, don't do it, don't do it. And so, like, quick thinking, I grabbed a megaphone. And I was just like, do it, pedophile. And I could see him up there, just kind of like, what the I'm not a pedophile. Now if I jump. I basically took that whole kill him with kindness mentality and I flipped it. Save him with hatred. That's what I do.
There's Dale Cheeseman. He's our comedian of the week in FEF Friday lore. F also funny. That's why he is there. We are here. We appreciate you being with us on a Friday. Harrison is in for Nick. Barry and I are in studio. And of course, one of our favorites is on hold, Barry. And I must say, before we go to the call, you and I are in total agreement, which never happens. He does get penalized because of repetition in both the texting and the calling. But his text after the boys in the cave...
This is really good.
Soccer team was fantastic.
Yeah, very funny. Yes. In a case,
all right, without further ado, let's bring him in. Mike, what's up?
Well, I didn't really care for him in New York, but when the local kid came home to pitch, I thought Pettis did real good. I liked him then. I also liked him with the Heartbreakers, too. Did he die?
Not Tom Petty, Mike. Continue. That was it today?
We got an Andy Pettit and Tom Petty reference from Anthony Pettis, but I blame you guys for Gary Pettis walking him right into that.
Don't throw Harrison under the bus. It was all me.
You are responsible. You and only you are responsible for that OU Mike call. It's on you.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I will take it.
That's how we end the week, because of you.
Oh, he's not done. There'll
be more.
We're not even at the halfway point. He is not done.
Yeah, there will definitely be some more
either
text.
Yes.
All right, what are we doing? Do you want to do sports or do you want to do non-sports? Because I really wanted to do this police blotter thing at some point today. Because I promised it. We teased it yesterday.
It's fine. Like, we always legitimately live up to that.
Right.
The Forrest Whitley, by the way, an oblique strain.
Oh,
so
already, huh?
Sidelined and coming to Houston to meet with Astros doctors to try and figure out what's going on with him. You did not stick out and watch that game last night.
I did not.
Boy, I will tell you this. Devo gave up a home run in the seventh.
Your man.
And I thought it was over.
Yeah.
I saw all the hatred going on about the pen and roping Devo in on social media. But I said, you know what? This is another one of those games where it just seems like, especially lately, this team has found a way late in games when it looks like all hope is lost to pull this thing out. And again, they do it. They do it in the ninth. They do it without Altuve, who strikes out and has been really chasing some bad pitches lately, both over his head and way outside the zone. And I know he gets a lot of hits that way, too. But last night, a 3-2 slider that he just threw the bat head at, that he could have walked and basically done a lot of damage. But overall, and again, things people sleep on with how good this team is, Yuli Gurriel is the best hitter in baseball with runners in scoring position.
Is that a fact or is that your just an opinion?
That is a fact.
Statistically, he is the best.
With two outs and also with just runners in scoring position, and he proved it again last night. He gets the game-winning hit, another walk-off for this team where they've had several walk-offs, especially at home, but a great come-from-behind victory and another way to just look at this team and say, for all that you want to pick apart about what's wrong with this team, please don't discount how much is right with this team.
Yeah, which most of it is right. I mean, you got to score.
But I'm just saying, that there's so many critics out there on a daily basis, from the closer to the bullpen to Jake Marisnick. We had that today.
It would be boring to just wake up and be like, "Huh, everything's good. Now what?" You got to pick apart something. It's sports. That's what we do. But yeah, I'm with you in that if your biggest problems are the 24th and 25th guy on the roster, you're okay. Remember, this is a team a few years ago where they were losing 100 games and everything sucked except for a young Altuve and Dallas Keuchel. So
I did pull out.
It's a good problem to have.
Springer got a hit last night.
Altuve with a home run, which you're busting on him for chasing balls out of the zone.
This is how it starts, because I'm not busting on him. I'm just saying lately, if you look at the games in Arlington and you look at what he struck out on last night.
Sounds like you were busting.
Very un-Altuve-ish in terms of his pitch selection.
He's been known to go in a bit of a slump here and there.
Okay.
But you're right. As far as chasing and stuff like, it is. It seems a bit excessive right now. Some of the stuff, some of the at-bats that he's having.
And I did point out, and I didn't know if anybody else caught this, but in the ninth, when Springer got the hit, he was using Altuve's bat.
Yeah, that I did see that now because that was like I think his second AB. Blummer was talking about it.
I don't know if Blummer talked about it. Someone mentioned it after the fact, but yeah, you could see clearly in the ninth that the bat, the name on the bat was Jose Altuve.
Yeah, this was, well, it had to have been before the fifth because I didn't see the two runs that were scored in the bottom of the fifth. So yeah, at some point between the first and fifth inning, in one, I think it was his second at bat, they zoomed in on the handle and said, oh, that's a good bat to get if you're going to go try to get one with some hits in it.
Well, and let's not, there's a guy that's slumping. I mean,
Springer.
Yeah, Springer's been really struggling lately, so we'll see what happens. Astros traded AAA reliever James Hoyt to the Cleveland Indians for minor leaguer Tommy Joannes.
Oh, thank God. I was hoping this was going to happen. I'm just kidding. I have not.
Joannes is a right-hander in A-ball. The move brings the Astros 40-man roster back to 38.
Smart.
James Hoyt was not a bad pitcher.
No.
But he was never going to see the light of day with every pitcher that the Astros have on the roster.
And bringing him to 38, you get some opportunities now to make some moves and add some folks and that you go out and get to add to your 40-man roster for call-ups and whatnot. So,
right.
Pretty smart move.
Yeah.
That Jeff Luhnow guy, pretty good. Pretty good at what he does.
Luhnow, he can do some things. I mean, no, but I like, this is the other thing I like too. He, unlike treating players like assets.
Oh, here we go.
He treats them
as a chance.
No, he treats them with the opportunity of, hey, look, we appreciate what you brought to the table. And as a, just like, it's not human nature, but it's like, there's a little bit of compassion in there to say, hey, we're not going to be able to find a spot for you. Let's find you a spot.
What's the opposite of a Kool-Aid drinker for the Rockets? Because that's what you are.
See, no, now you're going to get people fired up on me again.
You just hate Nomori. Any chance you get, you just take
it. There's not. Just, it's a fact. He treats players like assets.
I think you guys should tweet Joel and ask him why he hates the Rockets.
It's a good move, Big Tex. You should probably do that from the comfort of your own mother's basement.
You're so mean.
Oh, I. Okay.
Just right. So mean.
You want to get Bobby in here real quick on Astros? Call. Bobby, what's up?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Good.
I just want to call real quick and point out that Jake Mrazek has been batting over 300 in his last 18 games, and everybody still wants to get on him. Like, the man's trying. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the last month, like I said, he's making contact. He's hitting the ball better. But
what did he say? He's hitting what?
He said he's hitting over 300 in the last month. This is the portion of the program when you get to be mean and it's fair.
Last 30 days, 275 average. Last 15 days, 286. Last 7 days, 091. No.
What goes up must come down?
He had a
Is
decent,
that what you're saying?
His June, he hit 286 in June. Otherwise, his by month this year, 222 in March, 130 in April. 130 in April.
Well, that's when he struck out more than he made contact.
171 in May, 286 in June, and he's hitting 167 in the month of July.
You forget it's a lot to make up for when you've struck out more than 50% of your bats early in the season.
Yeah. No. I appreciate the effort. What was his name, Bobby?
Yeah.
We appreciate the effort, Bobby, but that one, you, unfortunately, just like Jake Mariznick, that was a swing and a miss. You didn't make
contact.
This
is also a great time in the show to remind you can only call once during any given program, so therefore you can't call back and rebuttal. Just want to let you know that you get one shot on every show.
Jake Mariznick has 68 strikeouts in 152 at-bats. He has 29 hits.
All right. Bubble burster.
Sorry.
You've had your fun, but I mean.
And the worst part, stolen two bases. Caught stealing once. That's the reason you have this
But
cat.
Jeff Luhnow knows he's not an asset, Barry. He's a guy all that right. brings See? A lot to the table.
Just brought it all the way back around.
I did, didn't I? Nice. All right, it's about that time. We're in the halfway window, so we're at the halfway point of the big show. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to have a whole lot more. So don't you go anywhere. It's more of the usual suspects in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Take it, Barry.
What's up?
90 in the books.
Oh, that, yeah.
90 still to go in the big show.
Yeah. I'm no good at it.
So fasten your seatbelts and away we go. It's the second half of an F, yeah, Friday.
Hmm.
So if you want a FEF, come on in.
I'm not good at that. I'm really not. You would make a great hype man, too.
What do you mean?
Because you, on the fly, you're good at, like, just piling on a lot of good words, and people are like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you would make a good hype man. That was a compliment, not a...
You got the beats, and I got the hype.
Yeah, we just need an MC. Maybe, maybe Harrison.
No.
Harrison, can you rap? Rap a little ditty for me. Do a little something, something.
I don't think anybody wants to hear that. I think we're trying to have a good show.
He goes, right? I don't think that's going to happen right now. I'm busy watching soccer. Let me get back to you.
White Magic texted the show, said, oh, you Mike, that was bleeping terrible. Bring back Jerry. Ooh.
Now he stirred up Jerry and OU Mike. Now we definitely will hear from OU Mike before the end of the show.
The saga continues.
Breaking news out of the NBA Uh-oh. World. Oh, Spurs fans, Uh-oh. How do you feel? I really don't want to know. Tony Parker has agreed to sign with his French compatriot, Nicolas Batum. Tony Parker is going to the Charlotte Hornets.
The Hornets.
The Hornets. So Tony Parker off the market.
When I was in San Antonio last, I was doing the show from their ESPN affiliate out there. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to some of the ESPN guys, and we were just chit-chatting and talking basketball and Rockets and Spurs. And I think the consensus was that a lot of folks knew he was leaving and didn't really care. I think they were like, all right, we're done.
But the Spurs players' wives do.
Do they? Yeah.
They're like, whew. At least the Spurs players are like, whew. Now we don't have to worry about anybody else hitting on our wives.
Mr. Steal Yo Gal is gone. Headed to Charlotte. All right, so this, I teased it yesterday. This police blotter thing, from time to time, I'll roll this out when in the slow months, and it never fails. It ends the Forest Grove Police Department's police blotter, and they're in Oregon. It's a very sleepy, small town in Oregon, but for some reason, this town appears to have the weirdest things that go on and make their police blotter. So, I've pulled together some of the better ones, and I'm not going to go in any particular order where I was like, all right, we're going to build this up to the best. So you might get the best one in the middle, just whatever. All right. So this one says a caller reported that their neighbor ran over a bucket that they were using to wash their car and had yelled mean things at them when the caller told them to slow down. So they called the police for that. Mm-hmm. So someone ran over a bucket and they called the police. A day shift officer located a man with outstanding warrants skateboarding along Main Street. He was arrested. How do you know a skateboarder? Like, oh, that guy's probably got warrants because he's skateboarding.
Was there's he wearing a hoodie, white gloves?
Yeah, but there's a lot of skateboarding ones that I didn't put in here. For some reason, apparently skateboarding in Forest Grove, Oregon is very popular.
Oh, come on. You got to believe that's apparently. True.
While on patrol, an officer witnessed a little girl fall off her bike. The officer promptly used his first aid skills and provided a Band-Aid. This is in their police blotter. All right, don't worry, it gets better. A woman called police to report a possible burglar in her home after hearing someone walking around downstairs. The alleged culprit turned out to be the woman's teen daughter who had just arrived home from a trip.
God.
A caller reported that a man had been standing outside a business for several hours looking for squirrels. Officers advised the man to move along, which he did without incident. So... just some rando, like, what are you doing? I'm looking for squirrels. Well, I'm calling the cops. This is a no looking for squirrel zone, and you need to go to jail. Because that's why you call the cops. You want someone to go to jail. So you can't apparently look for squirrels in Forest Grove, Oregon.
What else is there to do?
That's a really good question. A caller reports a man walking down Pacific Avenue holding his hand like a gun and pointing it at people. So they call the cops. No finger guns. Are allowed. You got to. Is that registered? Did you read? No. A caller reported seeing a driver who bore a striking resemblance to Willie Nelson driving a dune buggy and spinning his tires along Maple Street. So apparently Willie got high and went to Oregon in a dune buggy. And then my favorite part is police were unable to locate the vehicle, but did consider that it might be on the road again. That's pretty strong, Forest Grove. Police following up with a little jokey joke. A man contacted police after he had crashed on his skateboard. See, I told you. Sending his board into the street where it was subsequently run over by a car. So he called the police. Officers explained that while unfortunate, no crime had taken place.
At least they keep the police department busy, right?
Isn't this great? A bartender called police to report that a patron had stolen his backpack. Officers located a rather intoxicated man who matched the bartender's description, but was not in possession of the alleged stolen item. Officers eventually located the bag at the bar in the hands of the bartender's girlfriend.
Wow.
All right, last one. A caller report. This is a serious crime, y'all. This is all fun and games.
Harrison, pay attention.
This is serious. This is it. Everything is fun and games in Forest Grove until something like this happens. And then it's not a joking matter, and it's not funny. A caller reported several pine cones had been piled up on the sidewalk in front of a vacant house, creating a safety hazard. I mean, who hasn't seen a pile of pine cones?
How do you not just go and kick it to the curb?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's a safety hazard. A pile of pine cones? What, do you guys have a death wish? Just run it up. Who runs up and kicks a pile?
You're just being sappy.
Who? It was going so good.
It was just right there.
It was going so good.
It was easy.
Well, sometimes that doesn't mean it's okay.
No.
You know what I'm doing? I'm going to put a pile of pine cones in front of your car. You'll never be able to get in now. I'm going to
kick it to the curb.
Like, this is what people in Forest... I want to move to Forest Grove and become a police officer just for these calls. Well, because you're like...
Apparently, you become the citizen's personal concierge and not actually police officer.
I can't find my backpack. I am guilty of that. And I've said before, I'm at that age now where if I can't find something, I just assume someone stole it. It's just like I can't find my weed eater. I'm like, someone stole it. Someone came into the garage and stole my weed eater. This is an actual conversation.
Someone stole my fertilizer.
This is a conversation that I had with my wife. I walk in the house. Babe, someone stole my weed eater. She's like, what? I'm like, it's gone. It's someone came into the garage last night and took my weed eater. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, I was just weed eating yesterday and it's gone. And she was like, babe, you do this all the time where you accuse people of stealing things and nothing has ever been stolen. I'm like, I'm telling you, I've looked all over the garage, and we're walking to the garage. I've looked all over. You can go out there, but someone broke into the, oh, look, it's right here in the back of the truck. I didn't know. I had put it in the back of the truck and then just went inside and it was there and I had closed the tailgate. So that is literally happens, I don't know, maybe 6-7 times a year. Where I just blame somebody for stealing something that I can't find.
Really?
Oh, God. That's an old man thing, apparently.
I just blame my wife.
Do you? Yeah. What'd you do with my weed eater?
Exactly right. Lisa, what did you do with, and it, lo and behold, whether it shows, she does the same thing to me.
Does she clean your stuff up where, like, Nora will go out and straighten my workbench, and then I can't find a single thing. Because my chaos is at least organized chaos for me. Like, I know that at the bottom of this pile are the gloves that I need when I work in the yard. Or I know that this screwdriver is under this.
Yeah, it may look unorganized to others. I know exactly where all my stuff is.
I can find almost anything. There is the occasion where I'll be like, babe, can you come help me? Because I can't find this tool that I'm looking for. And so she's really good at
rummaging. There's a reason why Taylor's first phrase learned was don't touch.
Really?
Yeah, you don't know what that is, but don't touch it. Just stay, it's mine. Don't touch.
Yeah, I have that problem. But I'm not a clean, like, garage guy. My garage is up.
I just cleaned my whole thing, but it's still not
great.
Did you?
No thanks.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We'll take a quick break. And then remember, 3 o'clock is when we'll simulcast on SportsMap 94.1. So if you have any signal issues along the way, you can always flip over on 94.1 after 3 p.m. And we'll take you home till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. Jerome's back in, I believe, with Fred as AJ has some time off. Jungle will be here as well. So they'll take you home for your commute. But in the meantime, hang tough. We'll be right back. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Knee Deep, hour number 2, 3-hour show. We call it The Usual Suspects. It's an FEF Friday. Dale Cheeseman's our Comedian of the Week. If you missed him, you will be pleasantly surprised that he will actually join us on the phone in hour number 3. If you missed any of his comedy, you can go back, listen to the podcasts at 1:15, 2:15. We played some excerpts of some of his funny stuff. We mentioned Tony Parker. We mentioned joining the Hornets. This ass clown...
Uh-oh.
Okay. So, @FreeDarko on Twitter. He used to be a reputable NBA source, but he's becoming Skip Bayless. He just wants to say things to try and stir people up. But Tony Parker, on the report that Tony Parker's joining the Hornets...
This was the guy that went after McHale for being at a...
Trump rally with his wife. Right. And then he said he should never have another job.
Yeah, and then when we tried to bring him on the show to talk about it, he said, oh, I'm over it.
Yeah, so he slapped Mike Tyson and then said, fight over.
Yeah.
So essentially, he's at it again because he's come out with the Parker signing and saying basically said Tony Parker talked his way out of town with his Kawhi BS, but actually used the word. Well, the fact of the matter is that he chose to leave. He was a free agent, and he actually, as the reports that are coming out now, including from Woj, said he literally called Pop, who still wanted him back, to inform him he thought he would have more of a substantial role and get more playing time in Charlotte than coming off the bench with the Spurs, and therefore he left. So let's get it straight before you start drawing certain conclusions.
I know
Spurs fans, El Jefe and others, I'm sure that they have mixed emotions about him leaving. But look, you can't. The one thing that you can't take away from Tony Parker is his number will be retired there one day. And he did a lot of great things for that franchise over the course of his tenure there.
Yeah, it's sad to see that it ends this way. And I think there's mixed emotions, obviously, from fans, because I'm sure he was a fan favorite for many. But yeah, if you start to get a bad reputation in the locker room, justified or not, it sucks that it goes down that way, but I don't know. He's a guy. I feel like he's always been a little underrated. I know certainly through my own fault and blame, I've always kind of slept on Tony Parker and his game and his ability. So at this point, though, this is dream going to Toronto.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He at this point in his career, he's nowhere near what he once was. And when we talk about injuries, there's a guy that with some of the injuries he's had lately. And his age, I mean, if you're the Spurs, you say, hey, you know, really good run, great having you around, but if you want to go try and do this somewhere else, we're not mad at you, don't be mad at us.
Yeah. Jerry tweeted us and said, in police blotter fashion, an Oklahoma University alum was arrested on suspicion of manslaughter for boring millions of Houstonians to death with terrible jokes. He also had a warrant out for possession of a laser gun.
It was really good.
It was a great tweet. And then now the back and forth has begun between OU Mike and White Magic. Because, of course, White Magic said that was terrible. Bring back Jerry. To which OU Mike has responded with 2 different texts that I'm going to read. You be the judge of who won this little skirmish. Is White Magic Magic Johnson's son, EJ? Do you guys have cave exploring in Thailand tickets to give away for the first caller named White Magic?
White Magic wins.
Yeah.
Again.
I mean, I didn't make him send them.
You know what's weird?
I can only read them.
There's a parallel universe between Juggalo Trey.
What? Where is this
guy? And White Magic. I mean, and OU Mike.
How?
Because sometimes they bring it and it's really good.
Uh-huh.
And other times it's absolutely just an abomination. It's terrible.
There's
a parallel there.
I would agree that. John Parker said, I'm listening to the show and playing games on my phone while waiting on my oldest to get out of robot camp at NASA.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, Mr. Humble Brag. Oh, my kid is super smart doing a robot camp. All your other dumbass kids just go to camp and just do stupid things and and feel each other up. And my kids at robot camp making sex robots. And well, maybe that's not what they make at NASA robot camp, but that's super weird. He said, as a teacher, I see why parents hate the car ride at the line. What is this?
I need to know what robot camp is, by the way.
That's where they, I guess, I don't know, make robots, learn
about
robotics.
Do they make
robotics?
Them or learn how to use them?
I have no idea, Joel. I've never been to a robot camp.
I'm saying, I need clarification from him, not you. But Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the Lakers just tweeted out him signing his contract. Does Rob Pelinka not look like Rob Lowe?
Yeah, a little bit. I couldn't have told you that was Rob Pelinka. I couldn't have picked that dude out of a lineup. Well, I don't pay attention like
I'm going
to
retweet this. You guys give me... It looks like Rob Lowe to me.
I don't know. I was thinking Glenn Davis. Got a Glenn Davis vibe to him, too. Very fit. Glenn Davis is the most fit man I've ever met.
With a replacement knee.
He has a replacement knee?
Yeah. He did it this last year.
He's super fit. Oh, that's right. He did. Yeah.
Thanks for joining the show.
All right. Josh in Beaumont wants to know, did Grayson Allen display the perfect defense against the swing through and up to get three free throws moved last night? As a defender, you're better off just wrapping them up before they can go up, right? It's a valid point in that, man, if you just tackle them instead of letting them swing through and get the shot off, you might have a chance of stopping it. But no, I don't think he did anything. But I think he can certainly expect for that and plenty more to continue to happen, especially if he's going to play like that. Dudes are going to test him. Dudes are going to test him all year long. It won't be surprised if he's in at least three fights throughout the year.
I've said it. And then you guys out there, at least certain people out there, so I try to get all technical and say, well, you know what? No one in the NBA gets their ass kicked. It's just not going to happen. Well, you know what? He's going to get a stray elbow. He's going to get a couple of shots. Because last night, look, Trae Young has been awful since he started playing summer league for the Hawks.
Yeah.
And there's a whole jury still left out on him because you got the comparisons to Steph Curry early.
Oh, God.
But he has been
awful. That was ridiculous,
awful.
Though.
But then you got the Grayson Allen factor, which we talked about and said this well before he was even drafted by Utah. We said whichever team gets him, he's going to be a marked man. And he's going to have people that he's going to get that want to kick his ass. Well, last night, he tried his little Duke move to try and be a little hyper-aggressive and get there on Trae Young. Trae Young's obviously not having a good start to his career, and he's a little frustrated, too. And tempers went back and forth. They each got teed up.
Big deal. They locked up, and I mean, it was much ado about nothing, but I just my thought was, we're going to see plenty of those highlights because he's going
to
be involved in that.
The minute he does this to someone other than someone smaller than him, which Trae Young is, you do that to a vet, you do that to a little bigger man, yeah, you're going to find a nice, solid elbow to the chin.
Yeah, indeed.
Or a forearm. All right. We're going to continue to roll on. We've got 2 hours in the books. We want 1 hour to go still in the big show. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll be joined by Sports Map 94.1 as we take you home till 4 right here on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.